You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Expeditionary event continuing from the crossroads of the Marine Corps or the off-ramp of the Marine Corps depending on where you are in your career. Yeah. Right in the middle of captain's housing on base, and it's pretty nice too. Captains used to live in what was known as the letter departments, I think. My son lives on a street named after a chaplain in the 5th Marine Regiment who was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor in World War II. So, yeah. And then a block down, I recognize the name, is Loomis Avenue, I think, or Loomis Street, one of the two, named for First Lieutenant Jack Loomis, who was killed and awarded the Medal of Honor on the island of Iwo Jima. Played football and baseball at Baylor University. Played minor league baseball and signed a contract with the New York Giants. And when you research Jack Loomis, you'll see pictures of him at Camp Pendleton up in the mountains on the eastern side of the base at a place called Cave Springs. There's a lake up there. Marines up there swimming in it. I never swam in that lake. They wouldn't let us. But in World War II, the worlds were a little bit different. He was killed when he stepped on a... he went forward to do a one-man reconnaissance of an area they thought they could get through towards the end of the battle. I want to say the battle probably had less than a week. I want to say less than a week, maybe less than half a week to go. And he was, he blew up a few pillboxes, and then he was scouting for a way through. I want to say he was returning and he stepped on a landmine, and he was killed. And I want to say that there's a quote. And I think I saw it I've seen it a number of times, but the place I saw it was in a book called Surgeon on Iwo. And he said, "Doc, it looks like the New York Giants have lost a pretty good end." And then he died later that day. So, so Loomis Avenue. So the history of, obviously, the Marine Corps drips in Quantico, Virginia. The crossroads. So, drove up here on Friday after saying goodbye to my friends in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Always fun. And then somebody said something about the whole Lejeune thing. So I'm going to play for you this morning in the first hour. I'm going to play for you the interview right, where General Lejeune's daughter's interviewed, and the guy says, do you know you, I even mispronounced it there, do you know you mispronounce your own name? She says, she's 88 years old or something like that. Pardon me? She's from Louisiana, southern girl. Yes, most people think your name is pronounced Lejeune. And she goes, oh, well, it's not, or something like that. So I'm going to play you the source document, just so you know. I got an email, interesting email, about the change of command. Somebody watched it streaming live, a loyal listener. And so she has some questions. And again, if you didn't hear us talking about the change of command, it was pretty impressive. 4,000 Marines out there. It's pretty big. Yeah, so when they march on the colors, like 10 minutes later, the colors are still coming because they start from the very, very outside of the formation. And when there's 4,000, it's a pretty long walk. But nonetheless, it was awesome. It was awesome. And then to see a good friend of yours turn around and look at his organization, pretty cool feeling. So, but the best was, that was really the secondary event, to be honest with you, okay? The primary event was an impromptu reunion of a whole bunch of guys who share a common background. And that was the best. So we'll talk about reunions and stuff. Alex Holland going to join us. He of SoftRep. And so we've got a little news to, I won't say break, but to go over with us. So SoftRep in the news last week. So we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about some of the stuff he's been writing about. And but before we do that, we'll check news headlines. I also want to talk about, so I got here Friday. And as I think has been a decades-old custom here in Quantico, you have all these captains that come from, some of them all over the world, that come to go to school here at our, what's now known as Expeditionary Warfare School. And our, well, captains go there, and then majors, lieutenant colonels go to command and staff school. So anyway, so you have officers from all over the world that come here. So I was here as a captain. I didn't go to school here, but I worked out at the basic school, which is where we teach our lieutenants, and one of my favorite schools of all time. So, and being an instructor there was a life-changing experience for me in terms of professionally. So my friends, I bought a house off base. And I would not recommend doing that. Save your money, live on base, throw it all in the bank. Anywho, but my friends that lived on base, like on Friday nights, they would come home and there'd be picnic benches and there'd be grills out and they would have a big potluck. And it would be them and their wives and their kids. And that tradition continues today. So Friday, just out meeting my son's friends and colleagues and whatnot, and interesting discussion about China and how the nation's kind of doing the Chicken Little event over China. Remember who owns the world's greatest military? It doesn't belong, and I'll crack the code for you. It doesn't belong to a communist nation. It belongs to a free and democratic nation. That's a hint. And so we got to talking about China. And then as I was driving around yesterday, I started thinking, and I thought, you know, China's got a problem, right? Yeah, it's got a lot of problems. So, but one of China's problems is the fact that they have this modern economy, kind of, right? They got this modern economy, kind of, and that they want to improve, right? Kind of. But you don't want to improve it too much, right? You can't have it have too much access. So within communist definitions, you want to try to maximize that. But if you look at where communist units are deployed, they're deployed not out in the country where they can maneuver, just adjacent to large cities. Why is that? Well, we have to control the city in case anything ever busts out there. We've got to get there. So it's kind of interesting. China, right, desires to be great. However, within the parameters of a communist system, because if you move too much, if you move the needle too much, then people start asking questions like, why can't I do that? And then when too many people begin to ask that question, you've got a bad deal on your hands. So China in a bit of an interesting conundrum. They will have a window where their economy will continue to grow. But right behind China is India, with a population that's equal to China. So India, a free democratic country, will then counterbalance China. So the question that kind of the world is staring down is this. To what extent does the world need its institutions run by a communist organization? Is that in anybody's best interest? I don't think it is. Yeah, boom. I don't think it is. So the World Bank going to be influenced by a communist country? Probably not a good thing. The UN influenced by a communist country? Probably not a good thing. The International Monetary Fund, all these institutions that have been stood up by democratic nations so that all nations might prosper. And some people might take issue with that, but I don't really care. So that's kind of the window that China messes with. To me, it's very interesting that China has this window that it wants to go through. They want to be this large economic and military power, but they have to be very, very careful with it. We got to keep our hand on the governor because the whole thing blows up if we allow too much freedom. Everybody got a cell phone. How do we continue to repress access to content that we don't want them to read? Things critical of China, the New York Times, the Washington Post, much of what's written in the Western world. How do we keep the lid on that? Because you know there are those out there on the dark side of the web, according to the Chinese, that would go ahead and have access to that. It's interesting. It's an interesting little conundrum. And just like we spoke about this whole thing about the hypersonic missile, right? Everybody's chicken little. Oh, the hypersonic missile's coming. We're doomed. We're never going to make it. And then you start to say, okay, so it can shoot stuff at a gazillion miles. Yes, it can. Okay, then if it can shoot at a gazillion miles, the next part of the target issue is, how do they acquire the target? How do they see the target? Now, if they want to shoot Mount Rushmore, sorry, fellas, you're going to wind up at the bottom of a canyon, right? If they want to shoot a fixed target, then, you know, those things are screwed. If they want to fix a dynamic target, then they have to have a means of, one, locating the target, identification, location. It's called PID, positive identification, and then I'm tracking. Well, how do you do that? Let's assume that everybody's satellites get nudged, so we lose those capabilities. Now what? You're going to send an air platform, a drone? What are you going to do? So once you get there, it's like, well, I guess it's not omnipotent after all. But you can't get there if you don't start, you know, getting down in the weeds. So I just had, it was just kind of an interesting intellectual discussion here the other night about China, about a little bit about the hysteria that has gripped policymakers, like, this is awful, we're never going to make it, we're doing the so interesting, as you know, we've been fortunate to have Grant Newsham on. He makes us smart about the Western Pacific, and so I think I've learned enough from him to know that, and again, the other part of this is the spiral of technology and weapons. Okay. And I'll take you back to the Civil War. The bloodiest days of American military history are at Antietam. And, or Sharpsburg, if you're from the South. But what essentially collided was, technology has changed. Okay. And one highest, excuse me for doing this on the air, but highest casualty battles. All right. How about United States? I left that out. Yeah, if you do, if you do battles in the world, and you combine civilian casualties in there, some of them will blow your mind. Bloodiest single day is the is at Antietam, okay? And then there's some battles that last over a few days, right? Bloodiest single battle in fact, it lasted from September 26th to November 11th is the Battle of the Meuse-Argonne in World War One. Battle of Bulge is second. Battle of Meuse-Argonne, 26,000 casualties. And that's KIA, killed in action. All right. Battle of the Bulge, 19,300. Battle of Manawa, 12,500. Battle of the Hurtgen Forest, which you don't read too much about, but if you talk to members of the United States Army that participated, they do not remember that thing well. Battle of Gettysburg, June 3rd to July 24th, 1860, a total of 7,863 combined killed in action. Battle of Guadalcanal. And so, so kind of interesting. But anyway, at Antietam, what you have is you have us moving around in very close order formations, and I'll relate this to China. And then you had improvements in the rifle. Okay. And so the rifle, used to be smoothbore musket. And so we had to keep these, our troops in formations, tight formations to control them. Okay. The accuracy of rifles did not preclude you from keeping your troops that close because the rifles were inaccurate. They were smooth bore. Thing came out and it went. Sometimes straight, most of the time not so straight. Okay, with rifling, right? Grooves down the barrel that twisted the round, that thing came out true and it flew true. So what you had is Napoleonic formations that were designed for inaccurate musket fire. Now what you have is an accurate rifle, and the casualty numbers go through the roof. Okay, so what's the solution? The solution is, happens in Spotsylvania, general's name is Emory Upton. He says, boys, we're not going to get in that formation. We're going to spread out. What? Yeah, we're going to spread out, and we're going to move quickly, and we're going to move between pieces of terrain that covers us, and that's how we're going to get close to them. Oh, and guess what happened? Casualties went down to the floor, right? We're not eliminated, certainly, but it was a much more difficult shot. He's not standing and walking at me for 300 meters, for God's sake. So anyway, you can see, so that incredible advantage that a rifled musket gave was completely negated by a tactical adjustment that now spreads everybody else out. Oh, damn. You also see, so, and also you'll see it in technology, right? We build tanks. And they get on the battlefield of World War One. Okay? Tank, what stops a tank? A machine gun? No. Can't hit it with a piece of artillery. What do? Well, maybe we can. Maybe we take the artillery and we shoot it in the direct fire mode. Woo, that might work. Okay, but we don't have too much of that on the battlefield and that close. So what do? We make bigger guns, bigger caliber guns to puncture the armor. Okay, so that happens and that starts to work. What do the tankers do? Thicker armor. What do the shooters do? Bigger diameter weapon. Right, more powerful weapon. So we go back and forth. Then all of a sudden, armor takes itself, and then it gets slanted, right? So the surface is not 90 degrees, it's 45 degrees. Well, that thickens the armor. So take it 90 degrees and then rotate it to 45. You can see that it gets thicker. Same slab of armor, just got more distance to travel through to get there. Oh, that's a good idea. Then we come up with shape charges that will defeat that and blow through that. So what do? Oh, we're going to create what's called applique armor. There are going to be sections that are bolted onto the tank. They cause this weapon that bores through all that steel to detonate on the exterior of the tank. And then the chemical reaction that it's designed to fire through the armor spends itself on the outside of the tank. Ooh. So you can see that there's this spiral of technology it happened in Iraq. They had IEDs, right? They were controlling a lot of them with cell phones. What did we do? We put jammers on our vehicles. So we jammed everything. As we're driving, nothing explodes. And they're sitting there going, And then somehow or other, they identify the jammer on the vehicle, and they figure out what we're doing. So what do? They move the receiver, the cell phone, away. They run a wire from the cell phone, so the cell phone now gets moved outside of the range of the bubble. They run a wire, a longer wire, from the cell phone to the thing that's supposed to explode. And guess what? Gaboosh. So what do? We make a more powerful jammer. What do? They remote it even further. And they try to find different ways. And then they go to no electronics. They're going to take a wire and they're going to run it 300 yards to a house. They're going to have somebody there. It's called command wire or command detonated. They're going to be watching, boom, and they're going to blow it on somebody, and then they take off running. So hypersonic missiles and the whole China hysteria is, I think, needs to be dialed back. At some point, somebody invents something that negates it. Not sure what it is today, whether it will assault the guidance technology, whether it will assault it physically, not exactly sure. So anyway, so it was just an interesting, discussion about China, the hysteria about China. It's so far in front. The United States of America owns the greatest military on the planet. However, it can only stay that way if Congress gets its act together and continues to fund it at levels that it should be funded at. Because and then the next question, well, why? Why do we spend all this money on defense? I'll tell you why. Because you want it, when your adversaries look at going to war with you, they know it won't be a fair fight. They know they will be annihilated. So really what you're doing is you're buying peace through the deterrence of your military. Probably not a bad thing. Probably not a bad idea. and something that more of our allies need to understand and need to make sure that they're prepared to help so that there is a deterrence. So anyway, so good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps band will make it official this morning. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to everybody that came out to the little the captains, their wives, and the kids. This has been going on for decades in the Marine Corps, a place where you meet people that later on you may cross with on the battlefield. Quantico is a very cool place, and that's why it's named the Crossroads of the Marine Corps. And you cross paths with a lot more than the Marine Corps here in Quantico. In fact, the elementary school is called Crossroads. So it's very cool. It's steeped in tradition. It's a very, very old Marine Corps base. You come here and there's things about it that have never changed. I was telling my son John as we were driving yesterday, you know, at the end of this month, I arrived here 35 years ago and on a journey that changed my life. And certainly has impacted yours. And so so it's very, very interesting. Some of the parts of the base have changed a bit. A lot of it has not. So this is dedicated to the Crossroads of the Marine Corps, the people I met the other night, the timeless tradition of coming here, of getting educated, meeting people from foreign countries, meeting people from other branches of the American military, and then foreign officers. One of the officers that was from the Netherlands. So it's very interesting. You know, you sit down and you hear their perspective on the wars that the United States has fought, and also the impact of those wars, the influx of Muslims from Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, that have moved into Europe, and the effect that that has had on Europe. And it's very interesting to hear them talk about that. So it's dedicated to the Crossroads of the Marine Corps, which happens to be the home of the cathedral, which I'm probably sitting as a crow flies, probably about a half mile from right now. So it's dedicated to Quantico.
Our flag comes through to every wind. you're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident to thank you very much. I think it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore. See, young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make a jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran and you came home and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We will not leave if we have to go by it. We got to do what these Marines did 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win.
For whatever reason, I love that we got to win stuff, man. I don't know. It's just maybe how I was raised. Check the weather. We'll take a break. Come back. I want to make a couple points about reuse. Because, honestly, I'm still basking in the afterglow of seeing my crew and hanging out with them and other friends that were there. Just incredible, incredible, incredible American warrior, you know? And so I want to make a point about that. So we'll do that after we check weather in Marineland today. So, and then we'll check headlines. Alex Holling's going to join us from Software Up, and then the Gunner. Yeah, he got back to Texas, I want to say, Saturday. So, yeah. Currently, here in Quantico, sunny and 79 degrees. Humidity's not bad. At 60%. Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, 79 degrees and sunny, so the same. As we head west, Big Timber, Montana, 52 degrees and sunny, so cooled off in Montana a little bit. Cooled off in Granbury, Texas, 80 degrees in Granbury under mostly sunny skies. Granbury's a big lake town, don't you know? Yeah. Granbury, a big lake town. Why don't I have Camp Pendleton? Oops. Hundred 108 and sunny in Afghanistan in the Helmand Province. I should have done that. Yeah, and Southern California is going to be hot. It's going to be all the way up to 90. Yeah, see, when you do the whole refresh thing, jacks up my computer. Honestly. Yeah, currently 67 degrees at the home of All Marine Radio under partly cloudy skies, looking for a high of 90. That ain't right. That is not right. 92 on Tuesday, 88 on Wednesday. You know, interesting. The governor of the state of California was on television one Jerry Brown, Governor Moonbeam, as he's been known. So Governor Moonbeam is talking about, you know, the federal government looks into if the wildfires in California are being caused by climate change. Well, here's a personal opinion. California has very, very restrictive laws relative to what you can do in terms of clearing around property. But the real estate people in the state are extremely powerful. So you have these communities that get built at these windy roads into the backwoods. We're going to build houses on hills. It's going to be beautiful. But we're not going to clear around it because we don't want to impact the environment, right? And we have pretty strict water stuff that we do here in the country, in the state. There's been fires in California ever since the first thing dried out here. Nature's way of flexing her muscle. Yeah. Oh, by the way, we've seen her do the same thing, right? Do you want to build in lowlands and build your dikes? I hope they work, because when I get a little bit out of my 100-year cycle that I'm prone to do, guess what? It all goes. Witness New Orleans, witness some of the other flooding up and down the Mississippi River and some of the major rivers in our nation. It's like we can't control our environment. Hello? Did we think we really could? And the same thing in California. Is it global warming, or is it that we allow people to build in places that they shouldn't build because they're rich, because there's a lot of money to be made? We will not allow them to clear land and create large green spaces and fire breaks around communities so they can't be touched. And then we're surprised when that thick brush that hasn't been burned in, let's say, 20 or 30 years, when that amount of fire material gets lit and it comes up to the edge of your property, we're going to say global warming. How about human stupidity? And I can hear the gunner in my head saying, there you go, Mac. That's why I'm looking forward to extinction, something that we desperately need. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll check some news headlines on our way to a Monday edition of All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Nam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm Colleen McNamara,
and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Take a seat, rattle the desk, sat on the stairs, say or leave. The cabinets are bare, and I'm unaware of just how we got into this mess. Got so aggressive, I know we meant all good intentions. So pull me closer, why don't you pull me close? Why don't you come on over, I can't just let you go. Oh baby, why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle?
We continue on a Monday from Quantico, Virginia. Yeah, all expeditionary radio. How about that? Nah, you know what? It's awesome. It's a lot of fun getting around the country a little bit. And actually today, I'm going to do a little work on coming back here for the Marine Corps Marathon. So, which gunner's fired up about? There you have it. So I have to publicly thank Mike for driving from Texas to North Carolina. And he wouldn't, don't even think about driving either. Why not? It's my truck. I run it. Okay. All right. That's the way you want it. I got no issues with that. I can sit here and entertain myself. And when you have a cell phone, come on, man. Not that hard. So anyway, he got back, as I said, over the course of the weekend. Some news headlines before Alex Hollings joins us. Sad note and a reminder that as much as we try to insulate ourselves from casualties and things like that, that the bottom line is that we're still involved in two conflicts and a whole bunch of other things around the world. Three Czech service members were killed, and one American injured in an Afghanistan attack. This is from the Associated Press. A Taliban suicide bomber killed three NATO forces on a foot patrol in eastern Afghanistan on Sunday in an attack that also wounded a U.S. service member and two Afghan troops, a NATO statement said. The Czech military confirmed that three Czechs had been killed. The Taliban claimed responsibility for the attack, which took place near Charikar, the provincial capital of the Parwan province. So, anyway. The Czech Republic will now have an opportunity to do what the American public has done so seemingly so often, and too often, as a matter of fact. And that is remind the nation that freedom has a price. And so, again, their defense, Lubomir Metnar, offered his condolences to the family. Czechs had recently approved a plan to deploy 390 soldiers to Afghanistan through 2020, up from the current 230 as part of the NATO-led Resolute Support mission. Quote, "The tragic death of our three soldiers has hit me very hard, and I want to express my deep condolences to all families and loved ones." So again, Afghanistan, I won't say at a crossroads, but certainly a time when I think people are hopeful that we're on our way to some type of political settlement there. But obviously we are not there yet. So thoughts and prayers go out to the Czech people, the Czech military, and they will be reminded as we have been about the price. Sadly, this is from the Associated Press. The Italian media is reporting a major explosion on a highway near Bologna. B-O-L-O-G-N-A, that's right, Italy, which has left 20 injured and a bridge partially collapsed. Now, I think I'm not too different from everybody when I say that the first thought that goes through your head is what? Terrorism. Is it terrorism? So at some point we will find out whether it is or not. But normally bridges collapse in a ball of dust, not in an explosion. So I know that a bridge collapsed in Minneapolis, for those of you that remember that. I think at the time I was living in North Dakota. And, they showed the video right away, and it was simply this huge dust ball. So, talked about this. I guess we'll continue to watch that and see where it's at. Italy and, you know, a lot of the European nations are suffering under the exodus from Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan that has, I won't say overwhelmed their country, but certainly has impacted their country substantially. Sad story, and I guess I'm looking for an explanation. How does this make sense to me? Facing deportation, a former Marine's wife leaves for Mexico. I don't understand. I don't understand the story. I thought if you married an American citizen, that made you an American citizen. The 16-year-old American daughter of a former Marine held back tears as long as she could on Friday before her family was split in two. Her mother, Alejandra Juarez, was finally leaving for Mexico rather than be sent off in handcuffs after exhausting all of her options to stop her deportation. "My mom is a good person. She's not a criminal," Pamela said, cursing at the immigration agency before her mother checked in for her flight from Orlando International Airport. Alejandra and former Marine Sergeant Tamo Juarez, a naturalized citizen who runs a roofing business, quietly praised Pamela and their 9-year-old daughter, Estella, in the central Florida town of Davenport. I'm sorry, quietly raised, not praised. Pamela and her 9-year-old daughter, Estella, in the central Florida town of Davenport until 20 traffic stop exposed her legal status. Afterwards, she regularly checked in with the U.S. Immigration and Customs officials, which typically went after higher priority targets like people with criminal records. Tamo didn't figure his vote for Donald Trump would affect them personally. That was before the enforcement of Trump's zero-tolerance policy towards illegal immigration. Now the Juarez family will be divided in two. Estella will join her mother in Mexico after she gets settled, while Tamo cares for Pamela and pays the bills. She petitioned to become a U.S. citizen in 2001, but was rejected because she was accused of making a false statement at the border when she sought asylum in 1998, said her attorney. He said that she was asked about her citizenship and told authorities she had been a student in Memphis, Tennessee for a short time, so border officials apparently thought she was falsely claiming to be an American citizen. Politicians have got involved in it, and these are the statements they're making. It's an absolute disgrace by the Trump administration to be deporting a patriotic spouse. Her husband, Timo, served in the Marines while she was at home on the home front, raising two young women. What justice does this serve? She ultimately decided to self-deport to Mexico rather than turn herself and be detained and then deported. She has no family or friends any longer in Mexico. Quote, my husband fought for this country three times. The administration, yourself, you think you are punishing me? You are not punishing me, she said, referring to her family. I hope this makes him happy. Perhaps he will forgive me. Yeah, you know, I don't get that. I don't get it. He becomes a citizen. Is this who we're going after as we deport people? I honestly think it's wrong-headed and stupid. There was a pizza guy, pizza delivery guy at Fort Dix, New Jersey, who got yoked up in the same kind of traffic situation. He was going to be deported. Somehow or other, they found a reason for him to stay. She can't stay? Are these the people that we want to be going after? You know, and again, my frustration is, with apologies to Ann Coulter and the rest of the right wackos, right? 11 million people are not going to self-deport. Okay? They're not. Those that have come here illegally, are working legally, are paying taxes, what interest do we have as a population in deporting them? Okay? The Dreamers, give them legal status. Okay? At the same time you do that, you build a wall. Or whatever barrier we need so that we're not going to do this again. And then you resolve the status of their parents. And then let's get on to more substantive things. This debate is getting ridiculous. And the fact that she's deported, in my opinion, is stupid. So, there you have it. Interesting kind of poll going on. Tell us what you think. Marine Corps Times is running it. Should Marines have to wait 4 years before going into the infantry? Interesting little concept, yes? I think so. So what would you have? You'd have a more mature, you'd have a more mature force. And I think there's a poll that goes along with this. So let me see if I can find the poll. Vote below. Okay, should Marines wait 4 years before going infantry? Yes. 73% of responders, 1,500 people, say no. But I'm an outside-the-box thinker. My own opinion is you would have a more mature, more lethal force, and a lot of that is going to be required because of the sophistication of the weaponry, of the systems, whatnot. So, yeah, how about that? I think outside the box. I guess the other response they could have put up was, you're really out of touch, bro. However, they did not choose to put that up. The Department of Defense announced that it will double the number of forensic teams that are working on the reclamation of remains from North Korea, and they will also approach North Korea relative to standing up a joint team that did some work, I want to say, around the year 2000. So that'll be interesting to see if that happens. And then, after that, North Korea said, hey, the United States needs to dial down those sanctions. And I would tell you, were I betting man, that is not going to happen soon. So we're going to see. Everybody paid attention to the articles that came out last week about North Korea evidently doing some work on a on an intercontinental ballistic missile facility. What is that work? Reports were that they were continuing the work that they had previously done, which is obviously in violation of at least the spirit of what happened in Singapore. So, film on 11, stay tuned. Top five stories in Early Bird. And again, Alan going to join us here in a little bit. So don't touch that dial. Alex, always an interesting guest. So, we will, we'll talk with him here in a minute. But, real quick. I had to adjust something. Bear with me. One, U.S. Hopes to resume joint field operations with North Korea to find war remains. The Defense Department agency that accounts for missing American service members from past wars hopes to negotiate the resumption of joint operations to recover remains in North Korea, an official said on Thursday, calling such an effort a sacred obligation. It is absolutely a sacred obligation. You sign that paper, and you would expect that your country will do everything it can to bring you home alive, and if you don't come home alive, to recover your remains. And I think it's important that we do that. Just a note, the remains that were most recently returned to us were part of a site that was excavated as part of this joint operation years ago. So it's not like the Koreans went out and busted this stuff out. They were holding on to, or maybe did some additional work, so they would have a bargaining chip, and that's where those remains come from. Anyway, next story out of Defense News. Meet the new head of the Pentagon Strategic Technology Office. You know what? I won't make any jokes about it. That's a big deal. Like 5G technology and some of the other stuff. You know, so normally I would make jokes about, you know, dork. Chris Shank, a former Air Force officer who has held a number of jobs in both the administrative and congressional branches of government, has been selected by Undersecretary of Defense for Research and Engineering Mike Griffin to take over the department's Strategic Capabilities Office. So congratulations to him. Don't screw it up. Third story, Pentagon braces for massive change to officer promotions. Again, we talked about this last week, so I'm looking to track down somebody that can come on and explain the other ramifications to it. All right, and something that went with this was the fact that you can commission people and, I believe, assign them the rank up to colonel in an effort to attract and pay more money to low-density skill sets that you need in the military, cyber warfare, other skills like that. Interesting story, the fourth story. The Army is growing, so why are soldiers afraid of being forced out? Yeah, why are you afraid of being forced out? Normally, when we're growing it, everybody stays in. The lament of the G.I. Joes. This place sucks. My chain of command sucks. This food sucks. My job sucks. A study published in July by the RAND Corporation assessing the needs. The RAND people, man, they're all over it, right? Assessing the needs of soldiers and their families at the garrison level aims to cut through that noise and break down the issues affecting morale and welfare in the Army, pinpointing them by location and including soldiers of all ages, family makeup, and experience. And while researchers set out to evaluate a range of needs from child care to mental health support, what they found was a plea from non-commissioned officers for more time and staff to be able to accomplish the range of duties on their units, placed on their units, and a question floating over many of their heads: what is my future in the Army? Performance expectations were felt more keenly because of the broader context of the shrinking Army. The dark cloud of the drawdown is still looming over the Army, according to the RAND research study. Despite the Army's effort in the past 2 years to grow the force through both recruiting and retention, soldiers are scared, man. Get out there and do some hand-holding. But you know what? Bottom line is this. If you're good, you're staying in. If you're good, you don't got anything to worry about. All right, final story. We'll take a break. Alex Holling's going to join us. Talked about this last week, so I just want to mention it again because it's back in the news. It seems to be an about-face. And that is this headline, AFRICOM looks to cut special ops mission, pulls up hundreds of troops from Africa. I thought Africa was a place that we've all been told that is the next frontier. It is undeveloped. We need to get there and do train and assist missions so that we can shape it. So we don't have another situation where Al-Qaeda simply transforms to another geographical area and stays in business. My phone fell off the table. What was that noise? Doesn't make me happy. I'm not going to lie to you. So, anywho, read you a little bit of this, then we'll take a break. Alex Holling is joining us. Pentagon is mulling plans to wind down special operations mission on the African continent and reassign troops to other more in-demand region. All right. In the background looming is peer-to-peer war. Okay. The plan submitted by a top U.S. military commander aligned with the Trump administration's strategy to focus on near-peer threats from countries like Russia and China. So, opportunity cost. And here's the bottom line. Are we overreacting to the near-peer threat of conflict with China and Russia? And the war you are fighting, which is a global war on terrorism, which people will tell you certainly spreads the U.S. military thin, we need to dial that back. We need to let these countries proceed as they will. We will respond to it when necessary, but we can't continue to spread ourselves all over the world and prepare for a near-peer event. So it's pretty interesting. I don't want to say it's a guns or butters choice because we will still be involved in this fight, but there's a lot of discussion about the whole near-peer event. What does it mean? Quote, no decision has been made officially regarding the U.S. counterterrorism forces operating in Africa, a Pentagon press official told Military Times. Quote, in light of the 2018 defense strategy, updated priorities, the DOD is reviewing plans, operations, and military investments across the globe to develop the best options that address the evolving threat to U.S. national interests. The optimization effort does not mean that we're going to walk away from counterterrorism in Africa. Well, it sounds like it, but that these efforts must be right-sized. See, that's where you shine that sumbitch up. What are we going to say when we walk out? How about use that right size thing? Oh, man, that's a good idea. To align, that means, see, we would say we're an ass in Africa. What? Yeah, we're unassing it. Unassing means we're getting rid of it. We're dropping. We're leaving. Well, what are we going to say? We're going to say we're right sizing it. Okay, so the troops say unassing. The administration says right sizing. Everybody good. Got it. Right. Quote, these efforts must be right-sized to align with current security priorities. That means you're down the list, bro. The Defense Department would reportedly focus the troop cuts and decreased missions in Central and West Africa, where U.S. Special Operations Forces have focused on training up African host nation forces to combat growing insurgencies from Islamic militants. But it doesn't mean that the U.S. military presence in Africa is disappearing entirely. Uh-oh, here's Tom Waldhauser. He somehow or other escaped anything that had to do with not having armed ISR or medevac capabilities for those four soldiers. Somehow or other, Teflon man. We're not walking away, General Waldhauser, the leader of U.S. Africa Command, who submitted the plans in an interview this week with the New York Times, which first reported the story. Waldhauser added that the United States will still, quote, reserve the right to unilaterally return to protect American interests. Okay, let me just, you don't need to return unless you do walk away. So, General, can you explain the use of those two words, return? Unilaterally? Riddle me that, Batman. All right, time for us to take a break. From SoftRep, he's got a little news to share with us. So we'll go ahead and we'll deal with that. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. On your home for it, the one and only expeditionary bound, Quantico based All Marine Radio extravaganza.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.